This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Special edition of the Football Card Quest, joined by always Mr. Andy Kaysen. And we have Mojo, the most dedicated diehard grinder in the sports card hobby, a guy who I binge his YouTube content all the time. Mojo, what is your journey now from a football card perspective? We know you do basketball, we know you do all the sports, but how is your football card mentality changed over the past couple of years?
Dude, football is pretty risky, man. I mean, there's so many injuries, and you know, everybody wants to land the guy, right? Which is usually the quarterback, right? We're always trying to buy the quarterbacks. We had a strong draft class last year. J.J. McCarthy kills it in the second half versus the Bears, then goes down, and it's like a high-low. But I think right now my football card journey is like, you know, I stick to what I collect. You know, Aaron Rodgers, my favorite player, he's crushing it. Let's go. Even though he lost the Grandpa Bowl to Joe Flacco, but
nah.
It was, I think like my football card journey has like changed a lot. Like I've learned a lot, you know, in the process, but I don't know, you know, it's hard to pick who's going to be good. I mean, I'll flip it back on you guys. Like, how is your guys' journey through football cards? Like, what have you guys learned?
Well, I've learned that Andy, I've actually met Andy, and he's my best buddy through football cards. I've enjoyed the people as much as the actual cards and the content side of it. That's one thing I've always gained from you and seeing you at the Super Bowl, seeing you at the National a few years ago. You're really big on the people and the community through football cards. So what say you, Andy? What's been your biggest revelation in the 5 years you've been doing football card analytics?
Well, mine, it's pretty easy to explain. Because, and I think this is a big topic, like, what do you do when you first get into the hobby? So, you know, I was in as a kid, but then fell out of it and then got back into it at the beginning of 2020 when the initial, you know, COVID sports card boom hit. So I dove in headfirst without learning anything or learning about what modern day scarcity looked like and bought a bunch of base cards instead of buying one good card. So I think that should be. I'm really interested, Mojo, like if you had $500 today, what would you do? Would you take that and buy one really good card, or would you buy a bunch of more common cards?
I mean, I prefer to buy like the bigger card, but like sometimes I guess if I had $500, I'd probably buy like a couple like $100 cards and spread it out like $75 to like $150. That's like my sweet spot when I'm buying cards. Because like, I mean, even if you buy that big card, you could still get kind of burned, but if you spread it out, you never know.
Right. Diversifying the portfolio, if you will, you know, for you.
Yeah. So not all your eggs basket, but also not a bunch of $5 and $10 cards, somewhere in between.
You know, I wanted to ask you this about when you go to shows. So yeah. Andy and I don't go to not nearly as many shows as you do. I've set up at shows plenty of times now. In fact, I'm consulting a pretty big show coming up that'll be announced pretty soon. But Mojo, you're going to shows all the time. So how many shows do you go to on a monthly basis?
So like this month's a light month, but typically we'll go to like 2 to 3 shows a month, you know, and like what that looks like is like, you know, I'm going to Toronto the first week of November. And then the week before Thanksgiving, I'm going to Chicago for a show, you know? And I think like that, like two to three shows a month, three is a lot. Two is pretty manageable. Cause I can like, I live in LA. So like, I like to, you know, go travel, then come back and chill, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
But I meet so many, like you said, I meet so many great people. Like I love going to travel these shows because, you know, we're not just like fans, you know, these are collectors that are like passionate about this thing just as much as we are. And I think like that's the beauty in it, you know?
So when you go to these shows, you're in an interesting spot because you're also shooting a bunch of videos. It seems as if when you go to these shows, the content that you're shooting is as important as the cards. Would you say that's pretty fair?
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% agree with that. I will say that, like, I was about to open, you know, one of the bigger card shops in America, and I took a step back and I decided to not do it this last couple weeks ago. But
yes,
I will tell you that, like, content has been a focus. But this year, we are going to be focusing a lot on the business side of how these cards work and also talk about the hobby. So content and, like, card selling is a big thing. And that's why we're always on our eBay and our whatnot. But, like, I mean, at these shows, we're spending between $10,000 and $50,000 a show, and I want to bump that up. Like, I hope every show we can spend even more than that. But I would say, like, ramping it up, like content and business, it's an interesting balance, you know. And because the reason I sell cards is so I can travel more and build the brand, you know.
Yeah, so that's where it's unique because Andy's interested in what you do, because you really aren't afraid to take risk. You know, for a lot of people that sounds crazy. Why would Mojo go to these shows and spend $10,000 to $50,000 at these shows? So walk us through your prep. Are you walking in with an idea, hey, I'm going to buy a Kobe Bryant card, or hey, I'm going to buy a LeBron or a Tom Brady? What goes into the prep before you go to these shows?
I'll give you an example of like somebody like I was able to like actually make money on. And like, I don't know, on my channel, I guess we didn't really talk about it, but I'll just tell you guys, like, I knew I was going to the London card show. Let's just flash back to April. I was going to the London card show and I knew I was like, okay, I'm going to Dallas, then London. So when I went to Dallas, I bought Lamine Yamal cards and he's a great player, Barcelona, Spain, his market skyrocketed. You know, I bought, you know, I would say at least 7 to 10K worth of his cards. And, you know, we flipped them into $20,000, $30,000 throughout London and recently. I just sold one for $5,500, you know, that I paid $700 for. But what it went into that was, I don't know, you know, was it luck? Was it timing? I just think like I knew I was like, okay, he has a couple big games coming up. We're going international. And that was the motive on buying that much of his cards, right? But a typical show, let's just say I'm going to Toronto. Here's what I factor into Toronto. One, I'm going to another country, so I got to think about like a lot of stuff going on with that. Like, two, this country, our money is actually worth more with the exchange rate, so we can actually get cards for cheaper. That's why we go to Canada, because we can.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And we can clean up there. The secret's out. You know, more Americans go up there than you think because it's better for deals. But that's like a whole thing. And I'd say, like, I guess who's hot? Like right now, I think basketball is going to heat up. Here's my take. Otani, like, baseball is going crazy. Football, I mean, football is a little bit up in the air. We always say when you're buying football cards, it's 0-5 and 5-0, right? Those first five games get everybody freaked out. You know, you see with Mahomes, they were 0-2 or whatever they were. And now, like, you know, if Mahomes wins the next 7 to 9 games, everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, he's back, you know? And I always buy Mahomes, you know. I still think he's legit.
I think they're saying he's back now, man, couple weeks. And then he gets Rashee Rice back last week, and it's like, oh, it's game on.
100%. They crushed the Raiders. But I don't know. I think the process just depends. It's like – it sounds stupid, but it's like a mood, you know. It's kind of like where the market's at, you know. And then from a content perspective, like, once again, not opening this shop has opened my eyes up. And, like, I'm in a very lucky place in my career where I can travel and get paid to do it. So I want to give people my best, you know, going forward. And, like, I think we're going to try new content, you know. What that looks like is, like, you know, bringing more of the community in, trying challenges, you know, doing, like, mystery boxes. I'm gonna switch things up. We're going to have some fresh content coming into this first week of November. I'm excited. We're scheming right now.
That's cool.
You know, this was interesting to me, okay, because I've watched you lead up into this card shop. And you met with these other card shop owners. And I still remember one of my favorite YouTube videos of yours is with the Burbank, the Card Father, your first one. I still think that's one of your more viewed videos. And then you say no to the shop. Why ultimately? I know you've already done videos on it, but why ultimately did you say no to actually setting up a brick and mortar?
So I'll just tell you this. It's just not the right time for me. You know, I would sacrifice a lot of opportunities that we just got, you know, and like tomorrow I'm hosting with James Harden, you know, I'm hosting a Topps NBA rip party with him. If I owned a shop, I get my own. Right. But I think, like, I proved it to myself, to the industry, that I could do it, you know? And I think that's important, but I'm just choosing to not do it now. I'm 31. I've got no wife and no kids. Like, when I'm like 40 or 50, I think that's the sweet spot. Like, if I'm like 40 and 50 and I'm like really bored, I think a shop would be amazing. At 31, traveling the world and getting to do cards and like seeing you at the Super Bowl, Carter, like I would miss out on a lot of that because when you own a card shop, you got to be there. And I learned what that commitment looked like. And I think that was something that I was like, all right, I don't think I could do this. And the second factor to it was like, I say this and I know it's going to, you know, it might ruffle a lot of feathers, but I'm going to tell the truth. It's like, there's just too many card shops in America right now.
Well, interesting.
And there's too many. And I think the suffocation is going to happen. And I just want to see how the market plays out. I didn't feel like entering the market at this with a 500,000, it would be a 500,000 to $1 million operation. And I just felt like I could use that money to just keep building my brand. And when the time is right, I'm going to build a card shop. And the time is just not right now. So I can build a card shop. I'm choosing to not do it.
Yeah, that makes sense, Mojo. I think I would have done the same thing if I were you. I like your content. I watched some of your videos, and you had some really nice Jordan Love rookie ticket auto. Some of those vlogs you did, those are great videos, man. So tell me a little bit about your Jordan Love collection.
Shoot, man, I got to tell you, bro, I don't own a Jordan Love card, and I kind of wish I did because they're doing pretty good.
You sold them all?
You sold them all.
I sold them all, dude. I think, like, for me, it's tough because I've been in the hobby where I've been burned. Like, okay, I know, Carter, I'm just going to say it. Like, I bought Zion Williamson. I know you're – But, like, man, I got burned on so many guys. Like, I got burned on Zion Williamson. I was buying who's that Broncos quarterback? Drew Locke. I bought so many flops, man, that I had to learn the hard way that, like, if I could make money on these guys and then buy them back later, like, I would do it. Unless, like, I really, like, really believe in you, which is, like, even Lamine Yamal, man. Like, I thought, oh, man, I'll keep these till the World Cup. And then, like, I just – the profits just skyrocketed. I was like – like at an opportunity to make money, you know, don't get me wrong, dude. Like I have stuff that I keep, like I got a Jackie Robinson. I got, you know, James Gandolfini autograph card, like things that like,
let's go
special, like my Aaron Rodgers stuff I would never sell, but Jordan Love, he had a little peak and I sold them off.
Yeah. So you sold them all. Now, did you buy any Daniel Jones?
No, dude, I did not. Indiana Jones is shocking to me. I can't believe it.
I want to ask you about what football cards in particular look like 5 years from now. And I understand it's kind of all the same thing with the NBA exclusives with Topps and Fanatics. I see you wearing a Topps thing. I have a Topps card in my background. How do you see all of this shaking out with major league licenses, players having exclusives, whether it's with Panini or Topps? How do you think it looks here in the next couple of years?
I mean, dude, Topps is taking over, you know, and I think like tomorrow's a big day. Like Topps NBA is going ham. I know it's a football show, but
licensed?
Yeah, Topps NBA begins tomorrow, and like we're doing a launch party. We're doing a launch party with James Harden tomorrow at the bullpen, and you know we're gonna rip with him and show Pete and Lethal Shooter on Instagram, and like we're gonna show like people the hobby, you know, and there's some other appearances as well, like Kevin Durant's going at Houston, and like that's the thing Topps does, like. Like Panini, like didn't really do that, you know. Topps is willing to like Jaden Daniels. You have your picture. I was with Jaden Daniels hosting Topps Hobby Rip Night at a card shop, and he was telling me about his Kobe card collection as a kid, you know. And we saw him at the Super Bowl, and then I saw him at I hosted with him, and it was such a cool moment with him and his mom. But it's like, you know, I see these athletes are invested because of Topps. So if you ask me, like where I see it going, like. If Topps is at the helm, I see a lot of great marketing opportunities. And like, man, don't be even surprised if like Justin Jefferson is signing at, you know, you go in and you go to Target and buy a blaster box of Topps and Justin Jefferson. If you buy that box, you get to meet him and he signs something. You know, I could see Topps doing a lot of interactive stuff like that. But in terms of the license battle, like if you want to get into the craziness, I have no idea what's going to happen, man. I think it's going to get – I mean, they have NBA, and I think NFL is coming next, probably in January, February. There's going to be an interesting thing there with that lawsuit. There's a huge lawsuit between Panini and Topps. And I don't know, man, if it was – I think Panini's going to lean into a lot of non-sport, man, when it's all said and done. And
yeah.
Topps will just kind of take this thing over, similar to what Panini – I mean, shoot, man, I was collecting cards in 2009. 2008, we have a recession in America. 2009, Upper Deck loses their license, and this company called Panini, which I had no idea who they were. I was a kid, and I was like, that sounds like a sandwich. And they take over all the
products. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Except for baseball. You know, they got football, basketball. So like, you know, it's funny how Panini can get all upset. Topps is about to, you know,
so they're getting a dose of their own medicine, finally, is what it, you know, is kind of what it is.
Like, to me, it's not new. Like, I experienced this as a 14-year-old kid joining the hobby for the first time, opening my first pack of cards, and Upper Deck was gone. I mean, they were – dude, I'll tell you this story. I'm at the card shop in 2009, and Steph Curry is a rookie, by the way. He was not – nobody thought Steph – it was all about Brandon Jennings and Tyreek Evans, then Curry.
Yes.
You know, I'm opening this box, and the card shop owner says, oh, you should buy this box with Kevin Garnett on it. It's a hobby box. It's $35. That box is like thousands of dollars, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, Upper Deck's losing their license. There's a three in out of the 12 boxes in the case, three of them have hot boxes, so every pack has a hit in it. Every pack of this freaking box, and I grab one box. Everything I got a LeBron James Michael Jordan dual jersey card. I pulled a Curry autograph, which I did not care about. I pulled like a Sebastian Telfair autograph, and I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, I just like all these randoms, and it was like 15 packs or whatever it was, and there was a hit in every pack. But that was because Upper Deck was losing their license, and they were like, all right, we're sending all the game users.
Holy cow, man. What a great time to be in the hobby.
Oh, it was over, dude. Like, nobody was like the hobby wasn't as big as it is now. Like, man, collect.
But you stuck with it, man. You stuck with it, and you reaped the rewards.
100%. I will say this. The last thing I'll say about that 09 thing is, like, you got to realize in America, like, what was going on. Bro, in 2009, like, dude, nobody had money.
Nobody. Yeah, as the real estate market crashed.
Yeah. Even for me going in the card shop, the owner was screaming and talking about how bad the economy was. And I'm like 14 and he's cussing. And like, he's like, you guys need to buy more cards. I'm going to close my shop. The other card shops are closing. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, I was there in the trenches for like, not like one of, like, it was crazy. So like, people didn't think, oh my God, $35 Upper Deck basketball hot boxes. Let me get a Michael Jordan jersey card. It was just different.
Just looking for food.
It was a different time, you guys. It was a different time. If I could do a time machine, I would have been grabbing everything off the shelf and bought the shop from the old guy and been a millionaire.
Y'all check out Mojo's, whatnot, all the different YouTube videos. Like, as a YouTube nerd, I just love the way you like, from a YouTube side of thing, you just do everything right when it comes to the title, the thumbnails, all of it. I could definitely tell you've done a lot of YouTube research as someone that's in full-time doing this very thing. I want to be like you, Mojo. I want to set up the I obviously won't be as big as you are, but dude, I'm looking at this stack of slabs. Is that slabs back there in your background here?
Yeah, bro, there's cards all over.
Yeah, talk to us about grading, Mojo.
Look at this.
There's cards all over the place, bro. Look at this.
So what's going on with the grading industry, do you think? Where do you see that going? Is that just going to continue to go in PSA's direction?
Yeah, PSA is king right now, but that wasn't always the thing. What I was going to say, look, you see these white boxes?
Yeah.
Every husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend that sees these, man, they probably, man, there's some PTSD. There's always white boxes, bro. That means we're like, dude, there's nothing like a card collector, bro. But back to your thing about grading. Yeah. I mean, PSA is king. I mean, look, man, it goes like this. It's PSA, it's Beckett, SGC, CGC, and then all 50 of those other grading companies. PSA is king, man. I mean, if you want your value, you got to get a PSA, right? I mean, Beckett 9.5s are good too. I'm a Beckett 10 guy. I like pristine 10s. Those are sick. I think they're better than a PSA 10, but you know, I come from the, when I was collecting back then, once again, I'm going to say it, like, and I think the most valuable thing in life is your experience, right? And I think I have experience in the hobby during like the quote unquote cheaper, nerdier, not as cool times, but like, we weren't grading back then. I was hoping to pull a Geno Smith rookie autograph. That's how dated I am to this thing. And that was when he was supposed to be good on the Jets. I mean, well, I could tell you right now. Let me tell you this. You're going to laugh. You guys are both going to laugh. Here's who I was chasing. Robert Griffin III. Loved him. Cam Newton. Cam Newton's cards were crazy when I was a kid. Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin was the shit as a kid. Yeah. I mean, dude, who else? I mean, the list goes on, man. It's crazy, bro. And like, oh, Jake Locker from UW. I thought he was going to be so good.
Let's go. Tennessee Titan, Jake Locker.
I was so high on him, bro. I like, and being high on him was like, I don't know, the rookie autograph's like $40. It wasn't that bad.
Do you, when it comes to making money doing this, how does that work exactly? Where do you really, because we have a few questions in here. Do you, Do you mostly buy raw or do you mostly buy graded? What's the best way for you to go out there and turn this into a full-time living for yourself?
Dude, it's hard, man, because you gotta buy stuff at a certain percentage. And like, I know people get mad, but like, man, if something sells for $100, I can't pay $100 for it. There's no way it's not going to work, you know? And like, now, and then look, when I see a price tag of 100, if it sells for 100, not a price tag, someone will price it at 120. I see the last sale is 100, 98, 90, 92. Like, it's a $90 to $100 card. I have to decide, is it an eBay card? Because if it's an eBay or whatnot card, I'm going to pay 11% fees. So I really got to pay. If I want that card, I got to pay like $65 to $70 for it. If I'm going to sell it on eBay, if I'm going to flip it at the show, straight cash, no fees, and it's a, and I can get maximum $95 to $100, then I would say, let me get the card for $75. $75 to $80. Let me make my $15 or $20. But if I'm selling online, and this is something I'm going to be very vocal about on the YouTube channel, is like, we got to make a living. People don't factor in that 11% that I got to make online. Yeah. If I'm selling online, if I'm selling it at a show and I know it's a hot card, then yeah, then I will, you know, that's what goes into it. So if it's $100 value, if I'm selling it online, I got to pay that $65 to $70. Even that, like, most people want to pay lower than that and people like freak out, but it's like, if you got to make a living off this thing, you got to buy like ideally 75 to 85%. And at card shows, I'm going to be honest with you, it's very hard to pay that now because everyone, all the repackers and everyone's expecting 90 to 95% of that last sale.
Well, and what's interesting, Mojo, is if you're selling on eBay, like, and you're just holding that card and waiting, like almost like a buy it now situation, you can eventually probably get that price you're looking for, even if it's like a first or second year player, if you bought at the right price to begin with. Like if you actually did your research and comped it out across the rest of the draft class and cards that are similar to that in the same condition, and you bought, like you're saying, at 65 to 75%, you don't have to then resell it at what you bought it for. You can wait, you know, you can always wait. But I think a lot of people don't realize they may be waiting a year, 2 years. Like I'm sure you sat on cards for 3 to 5, 10 plus years and you eventually made a profit on it, but you sat on it for a long time, right?
Yeah. I mean, sitting inventory, like this is something I'm really going to test on. I learned this from some dude from Utah at the National. This is why it's so great to remain teachable. These shows, this is another thing, man. You go to these shows, if you go to the shows and hang out at the trade night and just hang around people, make friends, you will learn so much about the industry. Like it's a fact. And this guy from Utah, I looked at his cards. I picked him up at the National. His Crave the Card or Crave the Auto. He has like a shop in Utah. And I looked, I'm like, why do you got the date on this? And he's like, because if it's longer than 2 weeks, I need to move that card. And he was putting the date in, like, you know, you tag a card with a price. He put the date on the back. He had, it looked like random numbers. And he told me this, obviously he wouldn't, you know, I'm probably ruining his business, but
no.
He would put the date and then the percentage or like whatever he paid, like as like a code, or he would have it on his, he had it on a couple of them, but he's like, oh, I don't usually do that. But he would put in a spreadsheet, the date and what percentage you paid. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. He's building his own Beckett guide. And right, he had the
card more than 2 weeks, he's not following his business model. So like, yo, if I had this, like, I don't know, let me find a card because I need something. You know, let's just say Tank Bigsby. Like, let's say this is like a $100 card. And I've had it for a year and it's like a $40 card, like that I could have, in, let's say I didn't want to take a loss at $60, like, you know, after 3 months, I could have used that cash flow. And I think this is something we do. We get trapped in the cards. You got to keep the cash flow going. That's why whatnot and eBay, we're just rapid firing a lot of the time. Cause like, if I got to get out of cards, I got to get out of cards. It's nothing against the audience. The audience buy them, they probably get them for good deals. They actually
use them, dude.
So, yeah, so, you know, in a 2 week time,
you never know what someone has into a card. Like the Lamine Yamal that someone bought from me recently for $4,000. That guy doesn't realize it, but like if he would have offered, I mean, $3,000, $2,000, this is stuff people would never talk about. Like, but I'm just telling you, like, an example. Like, this is a hypothetical, honestly. I'm making up the player and the number.
Right, go on.
I got the card for $4,000, right? For sale. $5,000. He offers four. But if he offers three or two, I'm thinking about it because I don't have anything into it because I sold. You don't know what someone sold the collection for. That's why if you go up and make an offer, you think to yourself, wow, I got a good deal. And if you got the card for $100 cheaper than comps, but that person probably had nothing into it and they need more cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Got to offer on cards. You got to feel the person out.
It's more than just comps. It's more than just comps. It's all about what they bought it for.
You don't know. I'm telling you, bro, there's so many hidden things like that people, they get so intimidated. They don't realize, like, dude, sometimes you just got to feel the person out. And, like, you just got to ask them a couple questions. Like, well, my trick is I'll ask about when someone comes up to sell me a collection. I should make videos about this. I go up and I ask them a few questions, feel the room out, how long they've been collecting, what's their motive? Do they want to sell it all? Do you want to sell everything? If they want to sell everything, then they're gonna dump the whole collection. And I'm like, all right, what do you want to do with the money? They want to buy some more stuff. Then I know I can work with the number. If they want to sell a few things, or they're like, oh, they always say the same thing. Oh, this is the stuff I don't want to sell, which is always the Jaden Daniels autos and shit. And then I'm like, Zion Williamson rookie PSA 10 base. No.
I think you're a trailblazer, man. You got a Tank Bigsby optic, green shock. I think they're blue shock on your table back there, man. That tickles me pink.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, yeah, you get like, this is the rush of it, man. It's the business and the hobby side. But like, I tell you right now, go to more shows and just hang out with people. Like, the dinners I go to and like the trade nights is where I like that dude that I'm telling you was the last national, the date with the percentage, like it blew my mind. He's like, I will not own a card longer than 2 weeks.
No, I've watched more hobby content creators say I'm just constantly moving stuff. And if I were to restart, that would be, and I'm still in it obviously, but if I wanted to do a hard reset and really go for a smaller version of what you're doing, that would be my mentality, is just keep moving stuff, just keep it churning. Is that kind of how you are now, especially after this experience with this Canadian gentleman?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, I mean, I would just say, yeah, like I keep moving, like you learn as you go type thing too. Like, look, man, I'll give you a pro tip, like baseball, we got the World Series, like I'm not buying Ohtani right now. I'm just gonna be honest. Might be a hot time because if he wins and it goes, he get a little spike. But I always think like baseball is a great buy. I would say 3 to 6 weeks after the World Series is when you could start buying like Bobby Witt and these guys again. And like what I do is I compare the price. I go on Card Ladder or wherever you guys use your comps, and I'll look at like, let's just say the week before Thanksgiving. That's kind of when I buy baseball. I start checking like Bobby Witt first chrome auto. Like see what the price is now versus what it was at spring. And if it's really low, then I'm like, all right. By the time, if I can hold my ground February and March, because everyone's going to buy baseball, that's going to be the prime time to sell it. And like, that's what people usually do. I mean, you learn that over time. You buy baseball in November, December, and you buy it when, you know, it's hard. You got to buy something when nobody wants it, but then it goes up.
But do you hear what he's saying, Carter? He buys baseball at the end of November. So if you're buying baseball, then you're not buying football, right?
Yeah, you think
it's like a lot of focus shift to baseball. Yeah,
I mean, football, like you buy football during the NBA finals. Like, it's so weird, dude. I'm telling you, you have to go against what your brain wants to do, because it's like you buy when nobody else is buying. And that's like when people buy backup quarterbacks, you know, and that's where you see like the backup quarterback markets. That's something
else. We talk about it all the time.
Wait a minute. Who's your favorite backup quarterback, Mojo?
I don't even know anymore, dude. I'm just Mac Jones. I mean, God.
Who are the degenerates telling you that they're buying? Yeah, I guess Mac Jones. Yeah, okay.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah. Mojo, we appreciate you. And I do want to share screen real quick here, Andy.
That was fun, man.
I want everyone to go give him a follow, Mojo. Let's see. Can you share my screen? There you go. And he really means it. He's going to be with the old James Harden tomorrow.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be sick, you guys, in L.A.
Here he is. This guy's kind of a scrub.
Hey, he's a collector, man. He's cool as heck.
Yeah, Mike Trout. You've been with Derek Sanderson Jeter. You know you're living the life when Derek Jeter's not even a pinned photo in the Mojo world. Aaron Rodgers.
I took Derek Jeter and Rodgers off my pin.
You see, you have your priorities wrong, man. Trout's a distant number three for me. But you're a Cali guy, so I get it.
Yeah, I just but like you, he's a great guy.
How many Arch Manning cards do you own?
Dude,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know what's funny? I had a couple, but I sold. I didn't buy that much of it, man. I bought like, you know, someone like Arch, right? Like his market's kind of high. I bought like a $30, $40 card, like a couple of those. Nothing too crazy. Just like to feel it out, just to have it. You want to be a part of it, you know? That was crazy that night. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man.
I kind of like that you have Nolan Ryan here, and then the photo underneath that is what Nolan Ryan
He still
did.
Looks stout. he looked like he's 90-something there, but still looks stout.
This is what Nolan Ryan did to Robin Ventura.
That's right. I didn't think about that. Oh, my God.
There you go. You see there? There's my goat right there, Pele. That's my guy.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm excited for the World Cup, bro. You guys going to do some soccer segments?
Andy's not a soccer guy. It's funny because one of Pele's teammates I used to work with many moons ago when I was working at SiriusXM. Now he's since passed. His name's Giorgio Canaglia. It was an Italian soccer legend. They were actually teammates, and a lot of people don't know this. Pele was played in New York. He was with the New York Cosmos for a while, and Giorgio was a really close friend of Pele, and he would sell. Just share Pele stories all the time. But that was so cool, like that Andy ended up using your Pele photo for our thumbnail, because Pele's my hero, man. That's so cool. But Mojo, we'd love to have you on yet again. We appreciate you hopping on. I appreciate your friendship when I see you at these national events. It was so cool seeing you at the Super Bowl, and I had no clue that you were even going to be there.
That was so fun, bro. That Super Bowl was one of the best times I ever had, bro.
Are you going to do anything in San Fran this year for?
I got you, bro. Yeah, I want to try, man, for sure.
God, dude, there's nothing like the energy of Super Bowl week. It's unparalleled. No, I don't have San Fran money. If it was Dallas or something like that, but with this last one in New Orleans, I got an opportunity. I'm from Baton Rouge, so it's not. It didn't cost me anything to go down there, but I had a few opportunities to do things there. But if someone wants me to do some freelance stuff in San Francisco, call me up, baby. Let's go.
We could do some card segments out there. My parents live in Sacramento, so it's an hour and a half away. So I mean,
God, dog, it'd be fun as heck. And keep doing what you're doing, man. I love like on your Instagram stories, you'll do like some Q&As and you're always very open about the sports card thing. And what was funny was I wanted to ask you about the card shop thing, but I didn't want to because you're my friend, and I know how hard that was for you to not.
It was tough. We're on to a new mission, you know? It's life.
Yeah, that's it. All right, Mojo, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Yeah,
hey, man. Thank you guys. Andy, Carter, bro, I appreciate you. And Carter, man, hit me up anytime, bro.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks all for right. all you do, Mojo.
All right, buddy. See you, bud. All right, we'll do our normal show. Big thanks to Mojo for joining us. And
Man, what a cool story. What a great story. I mean, that's why we're in the hobby right there.
Yeah.
You know, Mojo living the dream, but that's because he stuck with the hobby for all those years, even when it was down, you know?
Yeah. Let's go to Jonathan, or let's go to Dave. Dave has a super chat here. Andy, hey, guys. I got a big decision. I got a Bo Nix dual, clearly downtown, and the Jaden Daniels dual optic downtown. Which should I hold and which should I flip?
That is a big decision because you're talking about immediate upside in Bo Nix, healthy and team winning versus Jaden Daniels injured and team losing. But Jaden should have the better long-term career.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think for me, man, I really do think the Broncos can go to the Super Bowl. I really do think so. I mean, that roster is so good. And I know they've been playing in some circus games where it could go either way. You go back to the Colts game where they lost, and then they had this crazy comeback versus the Eagles and crazy comeback versus the Giants. So I do think the Broncos can win the whole thing this year. I really do believe it. AFC's down. Sean Payton's coaching amazing football. That defense is amazing. So I would honestly, and Andy, you know, we just talked about move everything, move. I would seriously think about holding both. But I could totally be wrong on that.
Well, it almost sounds like he's got to flip one now, or he really wants to flip one now and take some profit. So what's the extent of this latest Jaden injury? Was it a hamstring?
Yeah. But at the same time, it is clearly downtown. And Andy, I don't know about you. I'm not a clearly downtown guy. It's just not really.
Yeah. But with the right photography, with the right background, you can make clearly's look absolute fire. So I think it's all about photography and the way you present it. Look, put a clearly downtown in a slab, and then it doesn't look have that acetate clearly finish anymore. The card's in a slab. So, you know, I think that's a big advantage to a clearly. Get it graded, get it in a slab. If you get a 9, it's okay because it's still a downtown, you know, and so 9 or 10 doesn't matter, I don't think. Well, 10, but I mean like 8 or 9 doesn't matter. It's still a downtown.
S Vintage says, get rid of the clearly. The optic is much sought after. Yeah, I would heavily consider, now that I've thought about it, move the clearly downtown. But then again,
I missed that detail, Carter. So he's got a Bo Nix clearly downtown and a Jaden optic downtown. Saying. Oh, yeah. Sell the Bo Nix clearly on the high right now and hold on to the Jaden.
Let's go to a few others here. Jonathan says, Jonathan in England, who says it's all soccer cards overseas, and he hates that. Well, Jonathan, that's why we're here, man. We're your American football outlet, even though my Liverpool football club lost to Man U this past weekend. Andy, is Achan a buy for you?
Yes, Achan is on my buy low list. For this midseason dip, and the Dolphins are just having a treacherous season. Achan, he finally got that big blow up game, man. This past week was okay, but the week before he had a 31 point fantasy finish, you know, putting up 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just got that home run hitting ability. He's proven that, like, he can function pretty well with a pretty significant workload. He's just so good, man. So good. So what if they decide to deal Achan and for draft capital and trying to go into this rebuild mode? I could totally see that with the Dolphins, as it looks like this team is in complete disarray. So
I would also include that I am in the same exact boat as you are, Mr. McLaughlin, because Andy knows I made this exact same play at a slightly cheaper price. I got it for $31 total. So I'm with you on this, McLaughlin. It just comes down to what a few others have said in the chat. Do you think Achan has a chance to be Gibbs or Bijan level good? I would say so. I would say so. I don't think those two players are so much better than Devon Achan. It's just those two players are on better teams than Devon Achan, and nobody likes the Dolphins right now. So there you go.
The ceiling is high for Achan. I mean, you put him on the Lions, he would have been doing what Gibbs did to us on Monday night, you know?
Let's go to Hobby Tip of the Week, Andy. I don't want to give one because, you know, when we have a guest as big as Mojo, he's given out a ton of tips.
He gave out so many hobby tips.
Yeah. And when a guest is on here, I normally want to talk about, like, stuff that's evergreen so people can go back to it and rewatch it. I do want to share one extra hobby tip. If a player's older in his career, it's always going to be riskier from multiple fronts when buying their cards. So let's say, Andy, you are a Mike Evans fan, and you are a Mike Evans fan. Well, if you're trying to make a Mike Evans Super Bowl play, let's just say you're like, oh, okay, the Buccaneers have won some games, and I know Mike Evans is coming back from injury, and you buy all these Mike Evans cards, boom, broken collarbone. You know, it's probably going to be retirement now. Then you're left with all these Mike Evans cards. It's not the worst spot to be in. So when a player is older in his career and you want to make big plays, ask yourself if you're comfortable holding the bag, if you will. Right. So that would be my hobby tip of the week. Andy,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Especially when you're buying older players like that.
Andy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about your boy Mike Evans, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing it up because that was huge. It was a big, rough injury. And the crazy thing was he caught the ball too. So that was like a brutal, just absolute brutal way to go down there. And I wonder if there's something there with the artificial turf. I don't know if that would have happened like on normal turf too. But that's a different conversation altogether. Carter, my hobby tip here as I share my screen, let's take a peek at the sealed product market and see what it's doing. I'm looking at best sellers here on blowoutcards.com, filtering by football cards, and you're looking at the 2024 Optic retail box on sale at down $35 on sale for $140 is like their number one seller. Then you have 2025 football hobby box for $400. That's gone down $50. And so I think this is kind of telling you that people are just seeing lower hit rates in these sealed products, and they're just more and more people are leaning towards singles, like targeting singles exclusively, because you still see the sold data on singles just through the roof for these players. Like, look at, you know, 2024 guys that are coming out of that product, like Drake May. I mean, the quarterback class is strong from last year. So you'd think people would be targeting these sealed boxes, but I think they made a lot more than what they've done in years past. This may be the last year of their license. And you can see that the more and more focus is shifted on the singles. Drake May, over 1,500 buy now sold items in the past 24 hours.
I'm also going to give one extra hobby tip here. Just one extra one. And it's actually involving the plays of the week. I do want to start with my plays of the week. If I am super-duper strong on a player, I'm going to do the same thing I did with Drake May, like I did all offseason, because a lot of my plays of the week are like $2, $3 cards. But when I make a play on a starting quarterback, I really want there to be upside for that starting quarterback's cards. Because if you're buying a starting quarterback who most people think is good, Andy, you're going to be spending a pretty penny. So I want it to be known that I was very happy that Drake May has exceeded expectations in these first couple of weeks, because that's why I told you. I miss a lot of stuff. I do. Andy, there's never been a take on this channel that I've been more right about than Drake May being the real deal Holyfield.
I know. I got to go back and record, like screen record that so we can put it in the intro. Because, I mean, that's the most right you ever been. Like, I think you should retire now.
Yeah, I kind of want to just give up on it, because I was like, it's going to be so crystal clear that he is the second best quarterback in this class and that he would be closer to Jaden than he is everyone else. And now this is where I'm starting to get into fights with people. Is he better than Jaden Daniels? Some are actually saying this, Andy. Some are actually saying, is Drake May better than Jaden Daniels? And that's nonsense to me. That's nonsense.
Well, it's not fair because he's not healthy. You know,
right. And Jaden had the best rookie season of all time. But my major point was it didn't make sense that there were so many J.J. McCarthy cards that were selling for $100 more than Drake May, and Drake May being that far away from Jaden Daniels. So as a big of a Jaden guy as I was like, the gap does not make sense. I'm like, watch Drake May with a far superior supporting cast, a coach that's actually done something. They're going to be really good, and they're 5-2 right now. And there's serious thoughts that they are going to win the freaking AFC East. Nobody had the Patriots winning the AFC East over the Bills this year. So we'll see what happens. I should have
would be absolutely wild.
I should have bought so much Drake May, but
who would the Colts end up running into? Let's project now. Like, who would the Colts end up running into in the AFC in the playoffs?
Well, they're going to win the division, so.
They're the number one seed right now overall. Yeah.
So they would get the bye, and then they would play the winner of the lowest seeded wild card weekend game. So
it might not even be Baltimore. Like, Baltimore might miss the playoffs altogether, so they might not be in the conversation this year.
Andy, what are you talking about? They're not even going to be close.
Cincinnati's done.
The Ravens are closer to making the college football playoff than the NFL playoff.
Do you think the Browns could somehow squeak in with a young Dylan Gabriel and up Quinshon Judkins?
Let's pull up the standings. We do our power rankings every week.
It's probably going to be the Jags. I mean, there's probably going to be multiple teams out of the South that make it to the playoffs.
The Jaguars are very lucky that the AFC is really weak this year. Really weak. Okay, so I'm doing a share screen right here, Andy. And, obviously the Texans stink, Titans stink, Ravens stink, Browns stink.
Yeah, Mojo Steelers have a real shot. They're definitely going to make it in from that division, no doubt.
This could be a generational buy low Joe Burrow lead the Bengals to the Super Bowl when he gets healthy.
Flacco, that was a complete 180. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase broke the slate, and I'm like, this is awesome. My daughter was cracking me up because she watched that game, most of it, and she told me over the weekend, because I was setting a DraftKings lineup, and she's like, I know one thing. If you ever get a chance to draft number one on the Bengals, you draft him. He's good.
That's a good point by Family Berliner about McCarthy playing at Michigan compared to Drake May at North Carolina. That definitely did play a role in McCarthy winning a natty did as well. I also just think McCarthy being with the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell had such a big deal with it. And I'll also say not every McCarthy card was more than Drake May, but some of them were, which was just nuts to me. And then we go to the NFC here, Andy. I am starting to get a little shaky about my Commanders. I really am. Because Commanders are my second team behind the Saints.
They can't win without Jaden. I don't think they're gonna. I think they're gonna lose a lot of games because their schedule's hard. They've got the Chiefs this upcoming weekend in prime time. Mariota can't. They're not gonna win, and their defense isn't gonna be able to stop teams like that. It's decent, but now with Mahomes with a full array of his weapons, look at Rashee Rice bouncing immediately onto the field. Carter, you know what? His rookie ticket auto has doubled in value. I should probably retire after calling that as my play of the week 3 weeks ago. Because if you were doing that, imagine if you were Mojo 3 weeks, 4 months, 4 weeks ago and dropping a few grand on Rashee Rice. Because now all of a sudden you take that $3,000, you just turned it into $6,000 to $10,000.
Look at the NFC West, Andy. Look at this.
Yeah, I'll tell you one guy that I'm buying right now, and this is how selfless I am to the football card quest. But this guy's also got a lot of cards out there. He's very good, but it's Jalen McMillan on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When he comes back and gets healthy, he's going to be putting up some big games with Baker. And I think with Mike being out for the rest of the year, you're going to see guys like him. Chris Godwin may not be right this whole season. He may come back a game, get banged up again. I mean, his ramp up and re-injury likelihood is high with, you know, now. So you look at the guy, I mean, we just need a couple more. We need another playmaker out there. And so, yeah, I think Jalen McMillan. And what's also nice, Carter, is second-year players have the highest supply right now of rookie cards on the market. So it's kind of like an illusion, man, like because those cards aren't going to stay there forever. And so eventually, like, that Drake May supply is going to go way lower than what it is now, and his prices will go up to that of, like, Herbert and Burrow from 2020. Because really, you know, the print runs are similar, obviously a little bit more, but that's what happens, you know?
Let's talk about, and I was actually going to bring it up to you, because normally we do a decent amount of prep before every show, but what about old Tez Johnson? Okay.
Oh yeah, Tez was great, man. I was like, man, nobody's gonna stop him on this run. Dude, I mean, he broke a couple tackles. Like, he's like, he reminds me of Tank Dell.
Look at that's actually a really good comp. Show this card to our beautiful audience, Andy. Share my screen real quick. Look at that. That is one of the best instants I have ever. that thing is
dude. Something. They just released that, or this person already got this back from, oh yeah, they got it. That was from preseason.
Look at that.
Good auto too, man. Proud of Tez. That's a good auto. Solid.
Tez's Oregon tape is a movie, bro. It's
check it out, Carter.
I think it's two
boxes right here, brother. See these?
Yeah, let's see.
These are from Panini America. And they're Panini Instants, fresh off the truck, fresh off the press.
Oh, what's in there?
One of them is your boy, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Bill, old Bill. Oh, Bill. And then one of them is Emeka Ebuka.
There you go.
Stay tuned. Definitely subscribe to the channel if you're not. I'll open these on Friday. But as soon as I get those Bill Merritts open, I'm listing them because those sell for crazy money because he's literally got no other cards out there. Like, cards in hand. Just got these yesterday. So I need to do it as quick as possible because that supply and demand thing is going to start balancing out real quick for him. Like, I bet you already. So I got them yesterday, I think, or maybe even Monday. If we go on to eBay now, I bet you there's already some Ja'Cory Krosky Merritts listed and selling. Let's see what they've gone down to real quick.
Yeah, let's go.
At this stage. Yeah, see, look, it's already flooded with them. He had nothing, and there it is. Well, October 21st, so that was yesterday. It sold for 50, but you can see one also sold for 15. And this was probably a best offer accepted. No, I mean, apparently sold for 50. I don't know. That would be a super impulse, irrational buy without checking comps. Look, that's not bad, Carter. The print run's only out of 463. Not terrible, brother.
It's not.
I've got like 10 to 20 of them right here in my box.
let's see. Play of the week. So I have a few. I want to ask everyone to go dig into your boxes and dig out those Andy Dalton cards.
You think so? No, man. I don't think he's gonna be able to move the needle here this weekend, bro.
Buffalo's defense, porous, coming off a short week.
Really? Has it been? Is Buffalo's defense been cracking?
They're not that good, man. They're not really that good. I'm not saying go buy some Andy Dalton cards. I was a little shocked to see his auto market as low as it is. And it is kind of, I just want to bring this up. I know the Panthers are not a sexy team at all.
But Tech gets open, Jalen Coker gets open, Legette, he gets open sometimes. And you're right, the Bills lost last week. They let the Falcons put up 24 points on them. Before that, they let the Patriots put up 23. You know, so they're letting even like the Saints early in the season, they let them put up 19. So they you're right. Their defense really hasn't played good since the first. No, you're right. I guess maybe against the Jets in week two, they only allowed 10 points, but that's it. And that's the Jets offense. The Jets are getting shut out by by random opponents at this point.
Andy Dalton is 37 years old. I'm just saying, dig in your boxes. You might have a few autos out there. But at the same time, Andy, the Panthers, I want to just ask you straight up if you just know this off the top of your head. Yes or no, the Panthers have a winning record in the NFL right now?
They're about 500.
Yeah, you're right. They're 4-3.
They've got a couple, yeah.
They're 4-3, okay? Now, their wins, 13-6 versus the Jets, 30-27 versus the Cowboys, and 27-24 versus the Dolphins. So they played all bad teams, but at the same time, Andy Dalton doesn't suck. And this environment that he's walking into with Canales, the hottest running back arguably in the NFL, is Rico Dowdle. Now, they split the carries this past weekend. And obviously, I'm not saying he's the best. It's Jonathan Taylor this year. But still, it's just something. Okay? It's just something. I think the Panthers are going to be a little testy this weekend versus the Buffalo Bills. So
I dig it. They're playing at home, too. So they get home field advantage. Yeah, no, I like that call, actually. I like that call, man, because they've got good weapons, and yeah, they've been on a heater.
Dude. I don't think Andy Dalton's good. I mean, he's thrown for 118 yards this year. But
so don't buy Andy Dalton right now on eBay expecting to flip him 2 weeks from now when they're playing Green Bay Packers.
but here's the thing, and I get on here, and I see Andy Dalton National Treasures. It's a veteran National Treasures auto, but – $10. I mean, that's not. It's interesting to me. It tickles my fancy. Topps rookie auto from 2011. $10 out the door. I mean, it's something. It's
yeah.
Something. I'll also say.
So ComC. So what you're saying, like, go check out ComC.com. See if you can get your hands on something without even having to take it or
right.
PSA Vault. And flip it this weekend.
All right, Andy, play of the week. Let's hear it, even though we can't see your face.
Well, mine was Jalen McMillan right now, 2024 rookie autos.
Oh, did he drop out? There you go. You still there, bro?
I'm making a comeback. I'm back.
There
I think.
You go.
All right. No, mine is good Lord. My camera USB is going bad. It's about time to buy a new laptop, I guess.
No, you just got a new one.
No, this one is a few years old. This is, 4 or 5 years old now. But, So my little avatar play of the week. Yeah, I mean, that's. You could look at a variety of places, but I like the Jalen McMillan play. That's a play for me. And, honestly, if I were you guys, I'd be doing the same thing. Looking at teams that can make the playoffs that players are returning. They need the weapons. They're going to get the opportunity. Who can you find out there that's a second- or third-year player that could get a lot of opportunity, that's a good athlete? I would be buying them and stashing them, you know. And you're going to hit on some of them eventually. And you should end up hitting on all of them over the next 3 to 5 years if they're a good athlete. They'll eventually get some shot. So it's like it's not only a short-term upside, but it's a long-term upside.
There was one other play that I wanted to get to, and it was actually one that I wanted to do a few weeks ago, and it's kind of dated now. Let me just look at this really quickly because it's a defensive player. And I don't like giving defensive player plays all too often. Okay. Andy, I want to talk about J.C. Horn real quick of the Panthers. I can't believe I'm giving out two Panthers.
He's good.
Dude, he's so good. Like, he's so freaking good. So, I do think Patrick Surtain is better, but do I think Patrick Surtain, per every rookie ticket auto, is $40-plus dollars out the door, where compared to J.C. Horn, hollow optic auto, $15 at the door. This was an auction that ended a few days ago. $4 at the door, free delivery.
What's his rookie year?
They're in the same class, 2021. And J.C. Horn was taking the pick right before Patrick Surtain.
So get those PSA 10s.
So I just want to put that out there. If you want to do, I and Andy, you know, I've taken advantage of using the exact draft capital play of the week between two similar players. I do think Surtain is better than J.C. Horn. I do. And he already has a Defensive Player of the Year award, and he's on a winning team, and he has a bigger name, bigger market, bigger fan base, all those things. It's just with the way J.C. Horn is playing, it's not out of the question that he wins DPOY. It's not. So I just wanted to put that out there, okay. Vbros Collectible said it's no show without technical difficulties. Andy,
yeah,
should
know it, man. We had technical difficulties in the very beginning. I was trying to create a phone stream and a YouTube stream, a web stream, and it had to create a whole new stream.
And the weirdest thing is your full time job is fixing stuff for people.
I'd say it's more solving problems. Yeah, I'm a good problem solver, but you know, and in the technology industry, but it's like, man, you know, can't get this YouTube live streaming thing figured out.
We appreciate Family Burliner and everyone in the chat, and we'll see you next Wednesday at the same time. Peace out.
All right, y'all. Peace. Bye-bye.